Blog Talk Radio.
And will I wonder why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. Michael and I will share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael, or myself, or forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, your co-hosts, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Today is Recovery Wednesday, October the 19th, 2016. And our call-in number is 516-418-5786. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael. Hello, Michael. Well, I am not sure what's going on there.
Hello, Jeannie.
There he is.
There he is. The mute button. Getting to the mute button is sometimes fun. Anyway, welcome, everybody. We're honored that you're here. I've been giving you a weather report every day from St. Louis. Well, today we've got rain. Cloudy and rain. It's still probably, I don't know, probably 70 degrees out. It's not cold, but for the middle of October, it's been a pretty awesome couple of weeks here. And in the next couple of days, we'll be heading back to Heartland and getting things settled there for the next level of what happens in Heartland. And Jeannie's got an intensive coming up, and we're working on the intensive schedule. Looks like our first intensive this next summer is going to be Laws of Living. We've had several people who've been wanting to do it who are school teachers and found that it usually ends up at the end of the schedule. So the school teachers are back in school. So we're going to start right out with it on July the – do you have the number in front of you, Jeannie?
July the 7th.
So July 7th, we'll be starting with a 16-day Laws of Living, then we'll do 3-day personal code evaluation training, a 16-day Laws of Living, and then we're looking at what else is going to plug into the schedule, whether we'll do a 9-day or a 16-day Laws of Living at Heartland, or pardon me, codependence communication at Heartland, or we've had a conversation with some folks up in Michigan, and we may go to Michigan to do that codependence intensive. So we're just kind of keeping you posted on where things look like they're moving. You got something to add there, Jeannie?
Well, you had just said 16-day laws of living and then 3-day personal code, and then you said 16-day laws of living again. And I was just going to say, no, after the personal code is a 9-day why and a 9-day teacher's training.
Right. So that's our upcoming schedule for next summer. We're looking at perhaps in, I believe it's the latter part of March, some people had asked about doing a 9-day intuitive development. We haven't done that in a couple of years, so we may do a 9-day intuitive development in North Carolina. We're checking out the possibilities in that. In the meantime, it's all about recovery, and the recovery of true being, recognizing who we are. If you hold a newborn child, you know exactly what a human life is. And what we're looking to do is to support people really, truly living in their human lives, living as human beings. That is that sweet, awesome, active presence of love. And when the mind gets lost in the world of hostility and fear, it can create so many bizarre hallucinations that tries to make itself right, that tries to make it put itself in a picture where everything is rosy and wonderful. And unless there's the physiological experience of the presence of love, things aren't rosy and wonderful. It's a pretty easy determination as to where you are. If there's hostility or fear happening in your mind, and yes, your mind's telling you all the stories about how your hostility and fear is all about them and it's their fault, but sooner or later you've got to stop the denial and recognize, I'm the one who's feeling this, so maybe this is about me. Maybe I need to work through it rather than pretending that it's all about everybody else and keeping the conversation focused outside of oneself. And when one does that, it can take all sorts of states of mind. You know, if we listen to the political games that are going on today, we hear about how the election's being rigged and it's all somebody else's fault. Got nothing to do with what I've admitted doing and what people have caught me doing. And, you know, I mean, it's just the ability to rationalize. In fact, there's a quote, Robert Heinlein wrote a book called Stranger in a Strange Land. And in that book, he writes, the human mind's ability to rationalize its own shortcomings into virtues is unlimited. And we're getting to see that big time on the national stage. And it's just, it's time for healing. It's time for an opening in the game where each of us can begin on a new level every day to bring forward the sweet active presence of love and open a space for something other than the old hostility and fear games to keep moving forward. So it's the removal or forgiveness of the hostility or fear. We want to be really clear and point out that forgiveness has nothing to do with me letting you off the hook because there's hostility or fear in my mind. Forgiveness is the tool, as it was taught in the first century Aramaic, that I apply to my hostility or fear in order to be free of it, in order to be rid of it. So we want to be really clear that that's where we're going with the forgiveness process. And there's nothing in the work about letting other people off the hook for what they've done. Now, should you choose to pardon someone? You know, that's a nice thing to do. If they're off target, pardon them. Great. But please, please don't call that forgiveness. Because if you make the mistake of misdefining forgiveness and you call letting other people off the hook forgiveness, then you'll never do the actual forgiveness work. And 2,000 years ago, if you were in a state of disturbance or upset, Yeshua would have said to you, you must forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother. So whatever it is that you're feeling that you're in denial of, and because of your denial, you've dissociated or hidden from yourself and are using that data to produce your brain's image of others, whatever that is, you've got to go in and remove it from yourself. And the tool for removal is called forgiveness. So that's what we're here to share. That's what we're here to bring to all of the globe. We're honored that you're here to be part of the process. And let's check in with Gail and see if the young lady's with us today.
She is, and she's on.
Hey, Gail, how are you, young lady?
I am doing well. It sounds like you are doing well as well.
We're rocking right along.
Awesome. I'm on my way home from Minnesota. I am south of Bloomington Normal, which is where I'm originally from. And I should be home in about 2 hours, depending on the weather. I think we're starting to get some of that rainy, stormy St. Louis weather coming through.
Right. And your journey north was a good one?
My journey north was a good one. It was very productive. The talk that I did on humility went really well, and I incorporated that definition that you gave me about seeking the high and best for everyone, for self and everyone else involved, and that is a really good spot check inventory device
sure.
as well. You know, on top of going, am I reacting out of being the space of love, or am I coming from the space of self-centered fear, or am I wanting the highest and best for everybody involved? And that kind of nips my judgment, because that's my number one character defect, is to go to a space of judgment and acting out of that. And if I'm going to a space of judgment, even with the best of intentions, if it's not coming from the space of love, you know, I'm the one that is off target, and that has become a very effective method of doing a spot check inventory, and I'm grateful for the definition of that as well.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
But I was oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask if there was anything in particular that was a powerful takeaway from the conference that you went to that you could share with us.
Well, I can. I can. Something that you had mentioned in the past, about 12-step groups, especially Alcoholics Anonymous, how we start to abstain from alcohol, and then all of a sudden, poof, there's the coffee, there's the sugar, there's the donuts, there's the cookies, and the people going out to smoke. And, of course, I had made the choice to abstain from sugar after I detoxed at Heartland, and I was maintaining that. And guess
what
happened?
You say I was maintaining that? Does that mean you got challenged up there?
I actually have continued to maintain that.
Congratulations.
That abstinence from sugar, yeah, but it was an awful challenge. It was quite the challenge, because when I walked into my sponsor's house, here she's laying down all these little bowls of mini chocolates all over the house. And then I asked her what we're eating, and she said, we're having turkey and ham sandwiches for lunch, and we're having goulash for dinner. And so, and then I'm like, well, I can't eat that. I've chosen to become a vegetarian, aiming for fresh and raw vegan. I can't have that, and or I choose not to eat that. And then there's the cake. There's this big cake. And I was in a space of being in a spiritual condition, because all we have is a daily reprieve contingent upon our maintenance of our spiritual condition. And then talk starts coming, and the tears are starting to roll. Everybody else is reacting. The shares is going on, and I'm allowing myself to be touched. And then, of course, I'm in a becoming to be vulnerable, and I want to medicate with sugar. And I did have a food meltdown, and I ran to my room and shut the door during break, and I called. I called Tracy, my accountability partner, and I'm like, you know what, I need to step up my game here. You need to become my sponsor, because I don't know anything about OA. You know, I could do the steps as far as AA is concerned, but you know more than I do, so I'm going to humble myself and ask you to be my sponsor and guide me through this, because I don't, as soon as I touch one of those little mini candy bars, I'm going to eat the whole bag. I touch one piece
right.
of cake, I'm going to eat half the cake. And that's how I am with sugar. And I knew that that was going to be the case, and I wanted to stay with the feelings that were coming up so I could address them in either an inventory process or a wake-up sheet process, and allow that to flow through. And I knew that as soon as I touched that, I was going to squelch it and stuff it back down. So that's what I took away from the conference. I mean, that
Very
is a
powerful.
Huge amount of growth. Yeah, it's a huge amount of growth to walk away from those kind of temptations. It's like an alcoholic going to a bar and their favorite drink is being served, and people are able to, you know, have that conviviality and that fellowship and that connection. And so, yeah, I stay clean. I stayed clean, stayed to my eating plan. I was able to go to the store and get some fresh fruit, make smoothies, get some black bean burgers, and stay on course with all that, with that commitment to myself.
Congratulations. And you make a really powerful
Thank
point
you.
When you found yourself getting weak, that you were able to call someone who's been there, done that, and ask them to help to hold you accountable and guide you through it. And, you know, that's not something we've put a lot of focus on. We do suggest a partner. But perhaps we need to put more focus in that direction, because if one's trying to do it alone, the mind can come up with so many rationalizations why, well, just this once won't hurt anything. Well, you know, it's not that big a deal, and on and on and on goes the story. So the encouragement for everyone to have an accountability partner for your worksheets that you stick to and you do the program that you say you're going to do, and that the work is an ongoing daily process, you know, and in the video, which we talked about a few times, thank you for sharing, very, very powerful about recovery. And, you know, there are several cases where you see somebody just teetering and ready to fall off the wagon, and they're able to return from the precipice with the support of someone else who's committed to their healing, to their wholeness. So that's pretty cool. And when we can commit to another's wholeness as well as our own, it becomes a powerful gift to give that other person.
Agreed. And we've also, the Law of the Living ladies that have committed to talking to each other every morning at 6:30 to 8, you know, on that conference call, we become accountable to each other. And then I've also, you know, I've paired up with people that have, you know, our individual needs as well. And so that call has been very powerful every morning. I was just first on it. I had been skipping over them because I've just been so tired, all the traveling and stuff. And I called in and said, hey, I need to go back to sleep, or I need to get some more rest before I get back on the road. And today was the day that I was able to be on it for at least a half hour and go through the Mind Goal Management worksheet. And I very much missed those guys or ladies on Sunday and Monday through this process. But it's great to have a group as well to a set time and space to be accountable to others, too, has been very helpful.
Michael, I can hear you talking from the other room, but you're not coming through the show.
So powerful support, and that phone call is a daily event for anybody who's done Laws of Living, whether you did it this summer or you did it 25 years ago. Doesn't really matter. You're welcome into that call and to return to engaging in the work on another level. And then there's also the call that happens on a daily basis, 5 days a week, or I guess it's now 7 days a week, from noon to 1 o'clock Eastern time for those who want to have support with the worksheet. So you can call in to the number. Let's see. Do you have the number handy, Jeannie or Gail?
I have the number. I have it committed to memory. So,
oh, great. Want to share with us? I don't.
There's also a call at 10 o'clock at night for Laws of Living
right.
as well, because there's an exercise of canceling, you know, marking successful on canceling what wasn't completed and then reframing the goals for tomorrow or the following day. And then there's also the dream worksheet. And I've been on there by myself quite a bit, but that's okay. I'm very good with that. That commitment, with having that commitment, I'm able to complete my work with, you know, I have to be up, I need to be on the phone, and I'm going to complete my stuff and have it ready for the morning call and where the temptation to just go to sleep, you know, would be there and has been there in the past. Anyway, the phone number is 515-739-1020. And the code to get into this conference call is 959-327-POUND. And so, that is for anybody that's taking Laws of Living, is wanting support, and maybe starting and completing the homework or just a refresher. And we go through the worksheet. And
awesome.
We have
Are the calls being recorded,
set.
Gail?
No, they're not. And you know what they need?
No.
To be.
Okay.
And they can be, and I keep forgetting about figuring out how to do that and getting that done. So
that
we're going to
be beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fabulous. Well, anything else to share on the recovery issue?
Well, another thing that I did while I was up there, besides going to all the meetings that my sponsor goes to and communing with Sister Pigeons, I did another official inventory for steps. And looked at resentment, fear, sex conduct, and harms done to others, and talked about it with my sponsor Sunday night. And so that was amazing. I needed to go through that process again, not only for myself, but I'm coming up with five ladies that I started sponsoring about 2 months ago that are going through this process as well. And so I just wanted to see how my sponsor did it so I could be a maximum service while I'm listening to Fifth Steps as well. I wanted to make sure that, you know, I just wanted to see, lead by example, and that was a very powerful process to go through. And I ended up in healing crisis that evening and following morning, and that's okay as well. And then I stopped in on Dr. Tim's group yesterday on the way back through, and that was a powerful session. So I appreciated being able to meet up with people that I've met in the past, and when I was through there again, and I stayed at a lady's house that I went through codependence and interdependence with, and she's got a lovely home. I'm grateful that she opened up her home to me to allow me to get some sleep before I started on the road home. And so it was very healing and a lot of powerful recovery happening on both ends of the spectrum, both the 12-step and in the Aramaic forgiveness process as well. So, and for all that, I am truly grateful. And one other
fabulous
thing real quick, I'm doing my Mind Shifters group tomorrow at the Fayette County Hospital in the new conference room. We've been moved, and that's okay. It's from 6:30 to 9, and I know that I'm going to have at least three people in attendance, if not four.
Fabulous.
And so, and then there's going to be an opening for starting something in Effingham, which is about 35 miles east of where I'm at. That's something that the lady in orange wanted to do. And so that, it's starting to pick up and people are interested, and it's definitely a message that needs to be carried to where I live.
Fabulous.
Gail, did you say your support group had moved locations?
It's in the what they call the community room.
But
instead of
the same
old hospital room. It's at the same hospital. So it's at the community room. So, that could be changed on the flyer, and if you could take my last name off the flyer as well, I'll get those printed up and distributed, and I'll get the radio station manager called and see if we can get some other people to participate.
Okay, we'll do it.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much.
Fabulous. And have you looked at up at Meetup?
Because I was preparing for my trip up to Minnesota, I have not had the opportunity to pursue that. But I will do so when I get home.
Cool. Fabulous. All right. Well, let's check in with Dr. Tim and see how he's doing today.
Dr. Tim is not with us today.
Oh, Dr. Tim's not with us. Well, then we'll just send him a blessing and say.
Hold on. He just popped onto the switchboard. Hold on. There you go, Dr. Tim. You're on.
Tricky.
I have been on for all but the last 7 minutes or so, 5 minutes maybe. I had to answer a call, and I hopped back on, but I forgot to hit number one. So we had a guest in our group last night. We had our support group in Woodstock, and we had this, gypsy, nomad, traveling woman. I forget her name, but she's all over the place. And so she came and sat in. It's the second time she's been there. So that was nice to have Gail in our group. And she was quick to point out the difficulty with regulatory speech and way of mastery. So she's on her job. She's working. She recognizes regulatory speech and using it well. And so it was just a blessing to have her there. So thank you, Gail, for being in our group, helping swell our ranks. Because
that gypsy woman you're talking about. Okay, I got it.
That's the nomadic gypsy woman.
There you go. Okay. I wasn't putting two and two together there for a minute.
And we had, lately we've had 5 or 6 people rather than the 8 to 15 that we had for so long. So, and it's, you know, it's in flux. That church is apparently just got a new minister, so they'll have all kinds of opportunities to learn forgiveness, as different people have different opinions about how a church should be run. And so that could be part of the change in the population of our group. And but we had a lovely group, and then one of our long-term members did a worksheet that was quite productive, and that's why I do this work. The worksheets are changing my life for the better every time I do one, and demonstrating to me over and over again that when I have an upset, I can pull out a tool and apply it to myself, and I can feel better even when nothing outside of me has changed. Everything has stayed the same. And I'm in a completely different frame of mind and energy, and so I can return myself. I can recover, as we talk about on Wednesdays, I can recover my awareness of my true nature as love. And when I live from that awareness, life is fabulous. And
aha.
I had the opportunity to meet with somebody this morning that I'd never met with personally before, and was discussing that very thing. And I saw the light bulb go off, and she's going to take a look at it again and keep exploring the possibility that responsibility is a tool she can pick up and apply to herself. It's not guilt and blame and shame. It's a tool. And it's a tool that will allow her, if she'll pick it up and use it in her life, it will allow her to have the ability to respond differently the next time she's in the same kind of situation she's been in over and over again. I think somebody should write a book about why is this happening to me again. Because people keep asking.
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. How's that rewrite coming?
Slowly, but it's moving.
Well, I was talking to somebody who's got a daughter who is the head librarian in a prison. And I said to her, well, when Dr. Michael Rice gets his book rewritten, we'll have to get some of those books to your daughter to put in the prison's library. Because the prison has a system that says in order to get released after they've done their time, people have to have at least the equivalence of a GED and some other educational requirements. And so that's why her daughter loves working there, because she's actually working with the people who want to improve their lives as they get ready for going back into the community. So thank you, Dr. Rice,
fabulous,
for your work and for the work that you've done in the prisons, because that allowed me to share that with her and say, you know, we're able to provide an opportunity for people where that opportunity opens and the tools. So there might be something coming down the pike there.
Awesome. And if you want to drop us her name and address, the prison address, I will send them. I do have a couple of books at home. When we get back there in the next few days, I'll send her a copy, so she's got at least one copy there in the prison for a loner.
All right. I'll explore that with her mother when I meet with her next Wednesday, and we'll see if we can't get a name and number for you.
Fabulous. Fabulous. All right. Well, let's check in with Jeannie and see. Let's see. We've got about 30 minutes left, so we've got lots of time for conversation about recovery, about forgiveness, about this whole process of internal healing and shifting the energy dynamics in our own physiology, our minds, our emotions, our relationships, finances, everything all the way around. So, Jeannie, is there anybody out there with a hand up in the phone queue or anything happening in the chat room or email?
We do have a hand up, and it's 678. You are on the air. Is this Donna?
No, I mean,
678.
Yes, and
you pressed 1, so your hand went up.
I don't remember pressing 1.
Unconsciously, huh?
I am
well,
enjoying the dialogue.
Well, it must be one of those things that's just meant to be.
I'm enjoying the dialogue. That's all that is.
Fabulous.
I'm complete.
Fabulous. Well, any questions? Anything we can do to support you today?
No. At this
moment,
seeing
as how
no.
You're unconscious, put your hand up.
I suppose I just wanted to say I'm enjoying the dialogue. And that's what I was thinking mentally. So now you know.
Fabulous. All right. Blessings.
I'm complete.
All right.
Well, I have a thought to share from the group last night.
Oh, go for it.
We had two different people who, when they did their worksheets and they clarified the target, the thought they were using to create the emotion, the goal, and they canceled the goal and asked to be shown the hidden part of their mind, the image that came to their mind didn't seem to have any relevance whatsoever. And in part of the pattern that I use to talk people through when they're going through that release, I often say, just trust the process. And it doesn't matter how disjointed the thoughts or the images or the physical sensations are, just make note of them. Because whatever comes up is going to be part of what you need to see to begin to heal here and move forward. Well, after the release, and the person who was doing the worksheet talked about what came to her mind, she said, but this is irrelevant. I just don't see how this is relevant. And then she talked about it, and the more she talked about it and told us what was happening at that point in her life, the more she saw very clear relevance to the worksheet she was doing last night. And then another person who was doing a worksheet had the same experience, where she thought that what was coming to her mind was, you know, maybe she was just trying to think it through too hard, so she was thinking of an image rather than just allowing something to come up because it didn't seem connected. And sure enough, as she sat with it and discussed what the issue was in her worksheet, she saw more and more how it was very relevant to these images that were popping up in her mind. So I'm frequently taking time in the worksheet process to remind people, just trust the process. Often, if I ask to be shown a solution, an answer, a different way to look at a situation, something will pop into my mind, and my conscious logical mind will be tempted to say, oh, that's silly, that's not relevant, I must be trying too hard. And in lieu of that, we recommend play with it a little bit. Let it sit there. Just pretend that whatever comes to your mind is somehow relevant and watch how it unfolds.
And unfolded, it always amazes me. Always, always, always amazes me what people drop into when they cancel that goal and collapse the perception that the problem's outside of the picture.
It's always amazing, and of course it's a skill to develop, to be willing to look there and to begin to decode the information that's inside, because so often it's been pushed away and pushed down and pushed down and pushed away for so long that when it comes forward, it's just not comprehended at first. And it's a practice, for sure. All right, so Jeannie, anybody else with a hand up? Any emails or texts? Anybody with a question or thought in the chat room that we should be aware of?
Nothing in the chat room, and nobody has a hand up right now. I have been going back and forth with the two ladies, one in Finland and one in Poland. It's been pretty interesting. And the one lady had written me back that, you know, she was trying to follow my direction and feel the anger that I told her to feel. And I wrote back and I'm like, reread my letter, because that is not what I said. I said, according to your words, you have anger in you and you need to acknowledge that, embrace it, and look at it, forgive it. I said, as long as you're denying that you're angry and you're saying everything's awesome and wonderful, I said, then, you know, you're in denial and you're telling yourself a lie. And she wrote back and she's like, oh my gosh, I went back and reread and you didn't say what I said you said. And so it was kind of comical to get her response. But then she was beating up on herself. She was saying how stupid she was and you know, she felt terrible. She was ashamed and you know, just several other adjectives. And so I wrote her back again and said, be gentle with yourself. This is a new wording. It's a new skill. And you've spent 29 years developing the pattern. And so it's going to take time to undo it. I said, however, there may be a clue in your own words. Who told you you were stupid and that you should be ashamed and that you were guilty and you were bad because you didn't understand something? So I haven't heard back from her on that yet. And then the lady in Finland, I'm actually having a little challenge there, and I'm hoping she seemed to take my last response really well. I told her, I said, please breathe and be open as you read my response. And so she wrote me a quick one real at first, and she said, I knew by your subject line that it was coming. And she said, so I'm going to sit down and read it. And then she wrote me back another one. And her power person is her mother, and it's really challenging getting her to see, you know, in one sentence she'll be talking about how evil and all of this and bad and wrong that her mother is. And then in another paragraph she'll turn around and say, and I remember when my mother told me I was evil and bad and all this. And I'm like, can you not see that you're doing your power person stuff? What you're doing is exactly what you say you hate that she did to you. And she wrote back and basically said, and so it was perfect. I hadn't finished rewriting to her. And so I used your quote from The Stranger in a Strange Land, because she wrote back and she said, I don't buy what you're saying. It's not the same thing. I have been forced, you know, to listen to one who thinks they know best. And she goes on and she talks, and then she talks about how she knows best. And it's like, and she started writing in capitals, and I said, are you yelling at me now?
And you're resting playing Joan the Baptist here.
I am, I know. And then I told her, I said, I'm smiling. I said, this is how our mind works. We see the faults in others so easily, and we give the behavior a different name when we do it. I said, and I'll use me as an example and give you time to breathe. For me, it was bullying and abusive when they did it to me, but then when I do it, it's my protection and survival. And that's a lie that we tell ourselves. There is a great quote from A Stranger in a Strange Land written by Robert Heinlein. And it says, the mind's ability to rationalize its own shortcomings into virtues is unlimited, and I am no exception. We all do this, but that doesn't make it right. And so it's, you know, I hope that she can hear me. It's, you know, perhaps I need to let it rest and let her breathe a little bit. But I told her, and she was talking about, you know, her mom does this and that to her, and then her mom does this and that to her brother and his wife and to her sister and her husband. And I said, you know, they are grown people. I said, you say that your mother's always trying to fix everybody else's stuff. And I said, that's what you're doing here again, is you're stepping in and trying to take care of your brother and your sister and their spouses. And I said, they're grown people. I said, what you need to take care of is what's going on in your mind, and take care of what it brings up for you. And so, you know, hopefully she will hear.
A great way of avoiding one's work is to say, but I have work to do over there. Not in here, it's over there. That's where I really need to work. And that's a powerful way to avoid looking inside and doing the work inside. Again, you might suggest to her watching, although it might be a little too intense for her, knowing her, but that film and why the necessary daily work is required and how deeply the denial. I mean, you know, there's a gentleman there in the movie. The movie's entitled Thank You for, or Thanks for Sharing. And there's a man in the movie who's a medical doctor, but he's a sexual pervert. And he is just so full of himself. And so able to rationalize things into, well, but, you know, this is okay. There's nothing, no problem here. I have no problem. It's they who have a problem. Until finally, you know, he literally loses his job over his perversion. And And once he finally crashes, then he starts to look, and you just watch him now start to move into recovery. Everybody around him, whereas before they're all turned off and pushed away from him because it's everything's so phony, you just see people rolling their eyes. And once he hits that bottom and says, okay, I am now going to stop fooling around and get to work, it's a really powerful demonstration of shifting that around and supporting and willing to be supported in the healing process. It's an interesting challenge.
For sure. And we did have a hand just go up. And say,
awesome. Let's say hello.
901, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Give us a name. Where are you calling from? Hello, area code 901. Oh, perhaps they've turned away from the phone.
We'll give them an opportunity to call back.
Okay.
So
our call-in number, go for it. Great, great minds think alike. There you go.
516-418-5786.
So if you're on one of those stations that we can't see you in our control panel, or you're in the chat room and you'd like to talk with us and ask a question, call in and push 1. If you're in the phone queue and there's some way we can support you in clarifying any of the principles that we're talking about, clarifying the use of the tools, that's what we're here for. Push 1. Your hand goes up through the magic of technology. Go for it.
901 is back.
Hello, this is Brenda. And
well, welcome, young lady. Glad to hear your voice.
Thank you very much. I wanted to, Dr. Tim, when he was talking about the worksheets and just going with the flow instead of thinking about it too much, I've had a couple days in which I have fervently been doing worksheets to clear some power person stuff. And he's exactly right. I just went through it, and whatever popped into my mind, I put it down. My goal was to get 6 of them done in the 11 o'clock new Central Time hour that we have the wake-up sheet report, the wake-up sheet support. And for the last 2 days, I have successfully done 6, which is amazing. So I wanted to also add that he's exactly right in that I was writing things. I went, this does not have anything to do with what I started to at the top. And yet it moved me into something else. And I did 5 of the worksheets, still with the tension and the physical tension and the emotions. And it wasn't until about the middle of the 6th one that I suddenly got a nice relief. So it doesn't always come at the beginning, but if you just let it go and just write whatever comes into your mind, I can attest to the fact that it is beneficial. And I also wanted to tell everybody about the 11 o'clock call. This has been amazing that Tracy started. And she was talking the other day about her joy in doing worksheets, and it just did a light in my mind. I went, joy in doing the wake-up sheets? So I started putting the joy in the thought of the wake-up sheets, and for the last 2 days, it has been a joy. It doesn't feel good doing it, but I'm doing it with a whole different attitude. So anybody who wants to support and come in, and actually we had one of our, Anne was at the dentist today, so she was not able to talk, but I believe that she was doing the worksheets in the dentist office, so, but she was there for the support, and then at the end of the hour, we just kind of let everybody know how many we got done, and that's it, so it's very simple and very, very helpful, and that was my contribution for today.
Fabulous. Well, one of the thoughts that I have, if the worksheet support time from 11 till 12 Central Time is going to become a permanent thing, that we could set it up as a radio show, use the same call-in number as a radio show, and then it would be available in the archives automatically for anybody that wants to tap into the worksheet process. So if it feels like that becomes appropriate, we can start to set that up and make the announcement that now the radio show is 2 hours.
I think that Tracy and I have, you know, discussed this, and Tracy had suggested that we do it continuing in after we get done with the Laws of Living 10-week homework, and I'm all for that. I heard earlier, I believe you said it was 7 days a week. I think right now we're doing 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. However,
right.
It's, you know, it's so simple to get on, because you just get on, say, hello, I'm here, and then we mute for the hour as everybody does their work or whatever they're wanting to do, and just report at the end that we've, you know, how many we've completed. So I'll talk to Tracy about that and the other ladies in our group, and I see no problem with that. I intend to be on it.
Cool. Fabulous. Well, I had understood, actually, that you had picked it up and you were doing Saturday. You had extended out and doing Saturday and Sunday as well. So, but I guess if that's not a permanent feature, 5 days a week is fine.
You know what? I probably did say that. And, yes, I will. Let me work with that. And let's do it Monday through Friday right now. And see. Let me see how Saturday and Sunday do on that.
Hello?
Michael, I hear you talking, but not through the phone.
Hello?
Okay. You don't hear me through the phone?
Hello? No, I can hear
got,
you.
You
I can't
you.
Hear Michael.
You're talking to me.
Hello?
And I was asking the question about your support group in Memphis. I think we just lost somebody.
Okay.
Are you still there, Brenda?
I am. I am still here. I do not have a support group right here in Memphis. Hang on one second.
No.
Okay. I'm trying to get into a gate while I'm talking to you. They're not quite getting me. I don't have a support group, but it's in the making. It just has to start.
Awesome.
Is that you or Bonnie?
It's Bernie. Bernie.
Okay.
I don't understand this. He usually doesn't have a problem. Anyway, I don't have one right now. However, it is my intention to get some started, probably not until after the 10 weeks of LOL, just because of my schedule of other things that have to be accomplished. And
Michael,
you...
you're not talking again. I can hear him through the room, so I know he's talking to you, but it's not coming through the phone, so he's
okay.
Not unmuted.
And my apologies for that interruption. I'm okay now.
Okay. Michael, are you there?
All right. Well, anything else we can do to support you at this point, Brenda?
That is it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you, Dr. Kim, for reaffirming that if you just let the mind go, it will do what you have to do. And Ruka will support in that, and it brings up very, very interesting results. So thank you again. Y'all have a wondrous day.
It's in the plan.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brenda. Take care. All right. Well, who's out there that we can offer some support to? Big and important part of the whole process of healing is the questions that get asked. And oftentimes I hear people saying, well, but my question is just kind of silly, or it's not that important. And, you know, the questions are really the key to the whole process. And I know that personally I get gift after gift after gift from the questions that people ask, arenas that I've never even thought about. And this question comes like, oh, there's another application. There's another corner for us to go. So if you are in the phone queue and, you know, let's imagine that Jeannie, Dr. Chan, myself, Vernie, Gail, had been doing a presentation in your city at your local library or university or church or whatever, afterward, as we walked down off the stage, what would you be wanting to ask Gail about that process of doing an inventory? What would you be wanting to ask Jeannie about the work she's doing with these two ladies from Europe? What would be the question that you would like to get some refinement and some deeper understanding on? And we're here to bring forward to the best of our ability answers to those questions and open the next level of the healing process for everyone involved in the work. Whoa. That was interesting.
What?
Did the noise, there was just a loud noise that came through my phone.
Not here.
Nobody else heard it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No.
Strange. Okay.
So another part of our group last night was this discussion about, are we here to do an intellectual exercise? Are we here to figure out who's right or who's wrong? Or are we here to usher ourselves into a space where we have an experience, where we are more tuned into that source within, so that we start coming up with more of an aligned way of living that allows me to extend love in every interaction? And one of the things I was offering is that this isn't about Michael Rice has all the answers and, you know, Dr. Tim is the genius here. This is about using tools to remove what's less than love from my system so that I can be more clearly able to hear that still small voice that's within all of us that will guide me to truth and happiness and help break off the effects of my errors if I just ask it to. So that was, for me, a really big part of the group again last night when we came around to this discussion. And it's not about whose teacher is more aligned with the truth or whose, you know, literature or whose scriptures are more authentic. It's about when you align with the power that keeps your heart beating and your breath moving and you get that conscious logical stuff and the identification with yourself as a separate being, you get that out of the way, you then have as much access to the power within and the wisdom of how to align with the eternal forces as any other person who's ever lived. And that's our goal in this work.
Absolutely. Good point, Tim. It's definitely, it's in every one of us that the whole process is to do what it takes to let loose of the non-being self and be in touch with it, because that guidance system is absolutely available to every person on the planet. And when we're aligned with it, the results are nothing short of miraculous. So, Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room?
No, it's all quiet. Nobody has a hand up.
Then who's out there with a question in the phone queue? You push one. You're next in line. No waiting. Here we go. It's interesting how often people wait till the last minute. We're down to about, 6 minutes? So we have time for one good question.
Well, while
something
we're waiting,
else
I'll go for it. Is that Gail?
Yeah, I was. I popped back on. Something else that we talked about last night is reaching that space of neutrality. That was something that came across the readings that we were doing with the Way of Mastery. And we were talking about what that feels like. And it's also a promise in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous under the 10th step, which is that we continue to take personal inventory and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it, that we're able to reach a point of neutrality with alcohol. And also, I've noticed and I have gnosis of, meaning experiential knowledge of being able to reach points of neutrality with my experiences with other people and other experiences that would, you know, a lot of rage or hostility or fear would come up, being able to reach that space of neutrality is a gift. And so I wanted to add that as well.
Awesome. Yes, it's in that state of neutrality that active present love comes forward most easily. If one's in, you know, taking a position in one direction or another, the tendency can be to lose contact with it. Not impossible, but to lose contact with that presence of love. And the whole idea is to keep bringing that love forward, bring it forward. Let go of the perceptual mind and the blockers and the blinders that it puts on us, and stand up and speak up into the truth of being, the truth of who each and every one of us is, and to hold the space for that truth to show up, even when it looks most unlikely. And of course, when I'm looking at someone else and my mind tells me that it's most unlikely that love will show up in them, they have become the symbol of the part of my mind where it's most unlikely that love's going to show up. I literally create a body that I call them out of that part of my mind. You know, there's a wonderful lesson in the Course in Miracles that says you live by symbols. And a body is nothing but a picture resonated or generated by the mind that is a representation of whatever energies are at the root of it. And so if what's at the root of the output of my mind is some sort of fear or hostility or rage, and I'm saying to this person standing in front of me, you enrage me, you make me sad, you hurt me, then that particular body, that particular generated perceptual construct in my mind is a symbol of that part of my mind that holds that painful, traumatic event. And what I'm always looking to do is to bring those events forward. If I'm in disturbance, to bring that disturbance forward in the presence of love so it can simply be dissolved. And once it's all dissolved, there's nothing left but the truth of being, the truth of that sweet presence of love that we're each designed to function out of. And that's what we're here to support. And if you haven't engaged in the forgiveness processes yet, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. The first thing you might want to do is on the right-hand side of the homepage, or actually all of the pages, you'll see the social media links. And the bottom one is YouTube. If you click on the bottom of the social media links, that will take you to our YouTube channel. There are, I don't know exactly how many, 100 or more videos there to watch. We invite you to go to the YouTube channel, and in particular, go down the list. There are three videos in the list that you'll find, I think, most helpful. The first one, the picture is a picture of the world as a shot from space in a blue background, and the title of that video is ACIM, What is the World, What is Forgiveness? I want you to watch that. That will help to build a lot of brain cells for the direction we're going with this work, and to recognize how we can live in hallucinations, that is, things that are going on in our minds pretended to be about someone else. And that forgiveness is what collapses those hallucinations so that we have the ability to be able to get the truth. And so that's the first video we suggest you look at. And then the second one to look at down the list is a picture of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, blue and red. That's the icon that goes with it on our YouTube channel. And the title of it is PowerPoint. So catch the PowerPoint. It's about 22 minutes. It walks you through 35 years of work with working on an understanding first century Aramaic forgiveness process. Then the third video we suggest that you watch out of the 100 or so is the one entitled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? There's a 52 or 53 minute, it's actually the first hour of the newest Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. So we invite you to go to that, and what you'll find is those three videos together will open a huge space. And then if you go back to the home page in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see the words start here. And you start out with those words, start here, click there, and a whole series of links will open that will walk you through the whole forgiveness process. And if you have questions, we're here 5 days a week, an hour a day, to answer those questions. Thanks for joining us. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, as we present the Aramaic Internal Process of Forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.